Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us on another episode of Family Matters with Kenny and Kwajalein. I'm your host, one of your hosts, Kenny, and I have my beautiful wife on the line. Honey, you there?
Hello.
All right. Once again, I would like to say good evening. Tonight's topic is learning to love when you never learn to. What happens when children are never shown the love and affection needed by their parents? Is it possible for those children to learn how to love? How can they become loving parents needed for their children? Again, thank you for joining us on tonight, Tuesday, November 1st, 2016. The time now is 8:01 Eastern Time. And we're just going to discuss this topic because it's very sensitive, yet it's a very difficult and much-needed topic to talk about because we have adults, even today, to include myself, who was one that actually struggled with not necessarily learning how to love their kids, but just being able to learn how to interact and be able to communicate with my kids the right way. I have our first call on the line ending in 6770. Call you on the air.
How you doing, Pastor Kenny and Pastor Kwajalein?
Hey, how you doing, right. Pastor Michelle?
Just fine. Can't complain. Excited about the show.
All right. Well, we have a few things we're going to discuss tonight, and you feel free to chime in whenever you're ready.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, so learning to love. Love is something that we all learn to do from the moment we are brought into the world. We learn how to love, and we learn who to trust, and we learn the difference between good and bad, even from the moment we enter into this world. But I just want to discuss a little bit about myself. You know, I remember as a kid growing up, I remember hearing my mother and father, you know, fighting quite often when my mom and dad actually lived together at times. And pretty much with all times of the night, you know, I remember my dad, he used to even, I never could figure this out, but I'm sure it'll come to me one day. But he used to use the radio to eavesdrop, to hear my mom's conversations over the phone. And, you know, I can remember coming home to her crying many days where him and her had just finished arguing or fighting. And, you know, at the time I was only in kindergarten, and this happened really from kindergarten through second grade to when most of these events took place. But I remember so clearly of how, you know, things took place and just how it made me feel as a kid. Even to this day, at 37 years old, I still remember a lot of that. And I'll pause for the calls for a minute because I have a new caller just came onto the net. Caller ending in 1998, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good. How's everybody doing this evening?
Everybody's doing good. Well, you know, our topic tonight is learning to love when you never learn to. And we're basically speaking from a child who's now an adult's perspective and just how most people possibly could relate to this topic on tonight. So feel free to chime in at any given moment.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, yes. I'm glad you said it. Thank you. And for our streamers on tonight, if you're interested in calling in to discuss the topic, please feel free to call in at 657-383-1571. Again, that's 657-383-1571. 383-1571. But yes, I remember most of the times, I hardly ever remember, you know, my family at the time, you know, us having, you know, those family fun moments where, you know, the kids can go out and play in the yard and mom and dad would actually be out there playing with them, you know, playing ball or soccer or something like that with them. It never really was something I really actually thought about until, you know, the Lord placed this topic in my spirit last week. And then for a brief moment, I started thinking about all those things. So I had to relive basically everything I had gone through as a kid. But I remember, you know, my mother and father bringing us to every year they had this big kind of fair. And it normally takes place around October or so time frame in Georgia. And it's kind of cool out there and during that time. But this was the night that was like no other. I remember being at the fair, and there were very little fun things that I could remember about us other than the fact that, you know, I asked, you know, mom and dad for a few dollars so that I can play basketball, shoot some basketball hoops, try to win a prize. And I do remember winning this Ghostbuster blow-up punching bag. And funny thing is, I still remember, you know, the shot I took to make that to make it and to win that gift and how excited I was. And really, that was like the highlight of my time at the fair. But I remember my mom and dad getting into this all-out brawl and argument in their bedroom, you know, that night coming back from the fair. And my dad came out of the room and he told us that he was leaving us because he couldn't handle this no more. He couldn't deal with them living and fighting like they were fighting. And then he told me I was the man of the house. And this is something that can be taken as an honor by many kids, but it's also something that can kind of like destroy, not necessarily destroy the kid's way of thinking, but it actually confuses the kid. If I can have a better term to explain it, it confuses the kid because now this kid is thinking that he or she, you know, can be placed on the same level as the actual parent that they're living with. And then this is where the turmoil, the torn, the bitterness and things like that come into play when, you know, you can't get your way. And I was that kid. But as parents, it's so important for us to not only show our kids how to love by the love and affection that we display to our kids, but it's also important for us to do the exact same thing with our loved one or our spouse. Because then you show your kids, again, you show them how to work out problems. You show them how to problem solve. You show them how to be able to talk things out without always resorting to violence. And then it helps the child, like I said, have a better way of living when it comes to, you know, him or her getting into their own marriage one day, and then they wind up getting into arguments, and he or she knows how to handle themselves in this situation. But like I said, he told me I was the man of the house, and for a minute I took that as an honor, but then again I took it as him just giving up on, you know, my brother and I, because at the time it was me, my mom, my dad, and my little brother. And this right here was something that was an uphill battle from that moment he told me that all the way up until I got older. And this is when my brother and my life really changed forever. Because my mom was used to, you know, she was used to him handling all the bills. She was used to him taking care of all of the things that needed to be taken care of around the house. But it pretty much like she was learning how to do all of these things because she had come so used to and accustomed, you know, to him taking care of everything. And she just was the stay-at-home mom, and she'll work part-time, but, you know, to get her sense of independence. But she spent most of her time, you know, trying to make the house a home. And then now he leaves. And, you know, I don't really know everything that went on and what transpired other than the fact that I remember them fighting. But it's important for parents to make sure that they're not out there fighting with their loved one, their spouse, in front of the kids, and they're not throwing fists and calling each other out names and you know, saying things out of anger. because this right here can cause some heartache, pain, and bitterness to the kid. So I'll pause for the calls for a minute. The lines are open. So if you have anything to say, please feel free to chime in. If not, then I will continue on and continue talking about, you know, a little bit of my story. But the lines are open. All right. Nobody has anything. Okay. Fair enough. I understand. All right. So we were consistently with living with my mom and my little brother. We were consistently being kicked out of our homes due to my mom not being able to pay the rent. And not only were we being kicked out of homes, but she was getting in and out of these domestic relationships that were just horrendous. I mean, you know, time and time again, she kept choosing the same type of man, you know, and it was the same type of man that wanted to either A, abuse her, put his hands on her, or belittle her and make her feel like she was the scum of the earth. And this is something that I had made a promise to myself that I was not going to do when I got older. Although, you know, my wife and I have our quarrels here and there. And, you know, we all say things that we don't mean. But the one thing I've never done is I've never called her out a name that's not her own, you know, and definitely haven't done that in front of the children. Now, I've had my moments where, you know, she had me fired up and heated, but I never laid my hands on her, never laid my hands on her in front of my kids, and I don't ever plan on doing it. So, callers, if you're out there listening, you know, I pray that, you know, something is going to be said tonight that will help you identify with where you are in your life and how you probably had some past experiences that may even been similar to mine. And if you have, it's okay to talk about it. I have a new caller on the line, caller ending in 8277. You're on the air.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. How you doing?
Hi. Pretty good. How are you doing?
Good.
Yeah,
sorry, I'm late.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I said, I'm sorry, I'm late.
Oh, you're all good. Okay. You're all good. You know, you ain't late, you're right on time, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
Well, we surely appreciate you calling. And the line is open, so if you have anything to add on to the topic tonight, please feel free to do so.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You're very welcome. So you know, out of all that I've mentioned thus far, the one thing that I never really can say that I experienced in my home, whether it was with, you know, my mom and dad when they were living together, they weren't married, but they were living together, was love. And even after that, I didn't experience any love. And, you know, a lot of people like naming their kids after them and naming them juniors and thirds and fourths and, you know, so on and so forth. But at the time, you know, my name, I took that name as I felt like it was a curse for a minute there, you know, because it was just absolutely positively nothing that I could do to get my mom to change the way she treated me. And what I mean by that is I am a junior, okay, and I'm named after my dad, you know, to the T, to the letter, you know, Kenny Edward Johnson Jr. I'm named after my father, but yet once my dad actually left out the picture and it was no longer, you know, us and our little family, it was just, you know, mom, my brother, and me. And I experienced a lot of heartache and pain love. I say it was a lack thereof for the simple fact. I'm not sure if it was because I was named after my dad. I acted like my dad, but there were quite a few times when my mom told me, you know, ooh, you act just like him, or you just sound just like him when you said that, or this, that, and the other. Parents, whatever you do, right, if you're in it for the long haul, do not make your children suffer for a past relationship that you have gone through. Don't make your children suffer. because one of the most beautiful things that can come out of a relationship that has gone sour or has gone south is life. You all created life, you know. And don't get me wrong, I don't say this to try to offend anybody, you know. But most of the time, the traditional background of a family, you're married and you have kids. However, my mom and my dad were not married. They were not married, never married, and they had both my brother and me. But don't take whatever you're going through out on your children because you named them after them. You know, you take that as an honor. You know, you named them after them, and you raised your children to be the best, you know, junior, second, or third that they can be. Don't try to put them in and give them this foreshadow of putting them in the place of their dad. Don't do it, because it's really something that, you know, I believe, and this is just my belief, at the time I always believed that I should have had my own identity. And it took my wife and the Lord to show me that I did have my own identity. Although I was named after him, I still had my own identity. And I'm going to pause again for the calls. I have a new caller on the line ending in 8225. Keisha, you on the air?
I am. How are you?
All right. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
All right. Well, our topic tonight is learning to love when you never learn to. And we're speaking from the aspect of a child growing up, you know, in this world, from, you know, adolescence, teenage years to a kid, I mean, to an adult. And they have a problem with learning how to love because they never experienced it.
Sounds good.
So if you have anything you want to add to the topic, please feel free to do so. We'll keep the line open for you.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So, again, like I said, we were constantly being – I'm sorry, somebody was saying something? Oh, okay. We were constantly being kicked out of our homes due to, you know, my mom being able to pay the rent. And you know, my mom had this – she had this downfall to where, you know, she was introduced to drugs and, you know, and it really tore her apart in many ways. And then that just put even more of a strain on the relationship. I remember feeling like I didn't belong. And, you know, I always believed and I always felt that my mom treated me differently because from the way she treated my brother, you know, and the way she treated me, I felt was bad at the time. I thought it was really, really bad. You know, there were times where she would say some of the things, she would say some of the most harsh things to me, and I was like, man, why would she say that to me? You know, I ain't even done nothing for me to deserve being talked to like that. But yet she still took it out on me, and you know, I'm not mad at my mom. You know, there are a lot of things that the Lord allowed me to go through that I'm grateful that I went through because it made me I feel somewhat of a better person. But there were good times I do remember vaguely throughout my childhood. Although I always felt angry and out of place throughout my childhood life, and those good times were, you know, like when I won my first boxing match. And, you know, I got to meet Evander Holyfield, and I thought that was, like, the best thing since sliced bread. I got to meet one of the top boxers in the world at the time. And you know, then there were, you know, one of those times my mom and I were bun, I felt like it was when me and her were drinking together and we were smoking. And that was an opportunity for us to bun. And, you know, like they say, most people say, you know, the truth comes out when you bury yourself into a bottle, when you're swimming in that bottle. You know, whether it's alcohol to the point of hard liquor or beer. And, you know, we talked about a lot of things when we were drinking, but when we were drinking together, we didn't really have too much of a conversation. And I kind of resented her for a long time until, you know, I met my wife and I got with my wife. And this is the point, and this is the case in point where the first brick was laid on teaching me how to love. I was struggling with this for like a long time. And I can remember clearly thinking like, man, one day I got to forgive her. I got to forgive my mom. I got to forgive my dad. And I saw both of them as equally, how can I put it? I saw both of them as being equally responsible for the turmoil and pain that my brother and I both had experienced because of their selfishness. And I took that out on them for a long time. So, you know, here I am going through adolescence. Now I'm a teenager, and now I'm resenting both of them, you know, because I can remember where I was trying to ask my dad, you know, can I come live with him? You know, and it wasn't that I wasn't thinking about my brother, but I need y'all to hear me on this. I was thinking about my brother, but I was looking at the fact of me being alone, you know. So it wasn't me trying to be selfish. It was me really trying to find a way out of a problem that I really didn't ask to be in. You know, I didn't ask to be born here. It was not like I spoke with God and said, Lord, hey, I want to go down here and I want to go live in this house with this family. That's the way God allowed it to happen, and I don't regret it. You know, I do regret the fact of not being able to receive more love and being able to actually show more love, because from this point, there's no relationship with my mom nor my dad, and I still struggle with, you know, learning to love on certain things. Although I've come a long way, and I've reached a high point in my life of learning how to love, I still got a long way to go, you know. My relationship with my oldest was it has been a struggle on my end, mainly. But I don't really think that there's not going to be a point where, you know, we're going to actually get better at loving one another, because I love him dearly, I do. And when you actually have, and this is going back to me. When you actually have a parent and you're begging and you're crying every single time you see them, telling them your heartache and pain, you're telling them what you're going through, you're telling them how you haven't eaten this much, you haven't eaten in a while, and you just want to get away from it all, and they're telling you, well, son, I need you to hang in there, you know, just hang in there, it'll get better. When you hear that coming from somebody who you put your trust in and you looked up to as your hero, it like tears a hole in your heart, you know. It tears a hole in your heart, and that's what happened to me. I remember us going on very limited visits. They were court ordered visits, going to my dad's house, and just going there. I could remember us going there, and it really was nothing much to say. It was like he knew he was obligated to feed us because, you know, we were there. But when it came to doing anything, having fun, going places, I mean, we just went over a couple of his friends' house, you know, and we were allowed to play with their kids, but it wasn't really that interaction that, you know, my brother and I really needed with our dad. And that was something I struggled with for a long time with my kids, and I'm not going to lie to you. I'm just going to be real. I'm going to keep it 100 with you on this one. Yeah, I struggled with that for a long time, and you know, I still struggle with it. But I thank God that he's brought me to as far as he's brought me, because there was a point in time where, you know, I would come home and I had no clue on how to interact with the children. I had no clue on how to interact with my older son, because I never had experienced it. I felt love for him, and I said, I love him. You know, that's my son. That's my baby. That's my boy. You know, but when it came to me actually, you know, being able to express those feelings and allow that those emotions to rain across, you know, as and showing him and giving him that affirmation that, son, you know I love you. It took me until he was at least about 4 for me to actually able to come across and be able to learn how to express the fact that I loved him and I showed him that emotion, not just saying it and just it being a blank statement, but it was something I was actually able to show him, and he believed it. So I'll pause for the calls. If anybody has anything they want to add to the topic, the floor is now open. The lines are open. And I have the number again for anyone that's streaming. The number again is 657-383-1571.
Okay. I just want to say a little bit. I think that it's important for us to, you know, look at the picture as a whole, because there are a lot of people, I think, that struggle with what you struggled with, or, you know, what my husband struggled with growing up in a home, feeling unloved, by both parents. Even when his dad moved out, you know, he was still in the same city. And feeling unloved, feeling like he was not the favorite, you know, and it's important for us to consider what is love. How do children, you know that they're loved? It is more than words, you know, it's actions. Just like he was saying, you know, not getting that interaction, not being told I love you. Was that something that you were told growing up?
No.
Never being told I love you, not seeing it. And so in the way he felt is that he didn't know actually what love was. And so going back, you know, looking at him, then I would like to take it back even further with his parents, then it leads you to wonder, did they know what love was, or do they know? Because we do see that often it's a cycle and it has to be broken. Somebody has to break the cycle, because in some situations we have parents that were not shown that love, that were not taught what appropriately, you know, I mean, what love is. And so then there are parents who don't know how to show this to their children. And so then there comes a point where there has to be a decision made. You know, are you going to be, well, some of them don't even, you know, realize it. So, but then there has to be somebody who's going to make the decision and say, I'm going to be the one to break this cycle. I'm going to be the one that's going to learn how to, you know, appropriately and effectively love my children, to show them that love, to teach them that love, and to, you know, be that example so the cycle will end. And it has been a struggle for Kenny. It's been a struggle for Kenny, and it's also been a struggle for me. And so we'll go into that later. But because we grew up in two different homes, we grew up two different ways. My father wasn't in the household either. You know, I grew up in a single-parent home. My father was around. However, I was still shown love. And so when I married Kenny, like, all of that was foreign to me. I didn't understand the not being able to interact with your children, or not telling your son, you know, you love him, or being cold with your child. Like, that was, I did not understand that. But now I have a better understanding, thanks to God, thanks to, you know, the people that he's placed in my life to help support me as I supported him. Because I also, you know, have needed a support team and all of this. But it is a thing of breaking the cycle, admitting that the problem is there, because some people don't want to admit it. Admit that the problem is there. You know, seek help to see how the cycle can be broken and make decisions to break the cycle.
Absolutely. It definitely does take, it takes a lot of hard work and determination and wanting to be the one to break the cycle. I myself, you know, for the longest of time, and I'm sure you all probably have heard many, many children that have grown up to become adults say, you know what? I'm going to be better than my mom or my dad. I ain't going to never be like them. But they're saying it, and they're saying it in a condescending way. Whereas I was saying, you know what, when I get older and I have children and I have a wife of my own, here's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to make sure that I do that. And, you know, my mom and dad both were young too, but there were just some things that were just really uncalled for, I believe, you know, now that I look back over my life. And for me to go places – And to see people, you know, experience or just experience a family that actually is strongly bonded, strongly rooted in that word love, it's great, you know. And that's something even today, you know, I have three beautiful kids, you know, I have my wife, and this is something that I still long for. I want to make sure that, you know, for years to come, that my kids can look back and see the struggle that I had gone through and what God has brought me out of, and genuinely see me walk, live, talk, act and breathe in love. And when you do that with your kids, I tell you, callers and listeners, it's something to be able to see your kids when you come home from work, and they like a cheerleader squad. That's something. That says a lot about you and your character. That means that there's something you're doing, and there's something that they feel in you that they're fond of and they want to continue to have. And that's love. They enjoy that love and affection they get from you. And I still struggle with that, you know. So I think it's going to be something that many people, after hearing this call on tonight, are probably going to call back on later and want to talk more about it. And if you do, that's perfectly fine, because we sure will bring back up the topic. We can always relive the topic, because, you know, I think it's very good for us to be able to go back over our life and see where we were, where we've been, where we're at now, and where we're getting ready to go. I think it's good for us to be able to discuss, you know, just life itself in that aspect. And when you trust in the Lord with all your heart, you know, and lean not to your own understanding, and all your way acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your path. That scripture right there was something that was really, how can I put it? I don't know. I guess it was a shield of protection for me, because I had to really, really, really trust in God for the things that I long for, and He's given them to me, and I'm grateful for that. Let's see what else. I remember when my dad, he married my stepmom, and that their marriage, it was short lived, and it was because of my dad, you know. And these are the exact same things, the exact same characteristics that were displayed with him and my mom's relationship, that were displayed in my marriage to my stepmom at the time. And again, although there was a lot of heartache and pain, something great happened, and our little sister was born. And, you know, she was like the little girl that could do no wrong in that household. She had, you know, and then of course, you know, my stepmom, she had a son to, you know, a previous relationship, and to this day, he's still my brother. You know, he's still my brother. And although my mom, my stepmom, and, you know, my dad are divorced and she's remarried, I still call her mom. My sister, of course, we all, she got me, she got my middle brother, my younger brother, and then we have, you know, Sherrod. So I tell you right now, love is something that's very, very powerful, very strong word. And we take that word so lightly. I mean, it's a four-letter word that can be misconstrued in so many ways. And it has caused so much joy in my life, yet it also has caused some heartache in mine. And I, like I said, my little sister at the time, we felt like she was the missing piece to our puzzle. You know, and then my mother, my stepmother, and my dad, they eventually divorced. And then again, once again, here I am in that same position. I felt alone. And all of the joy and fun that, you know, my stepmom, my sister, and my stepbrother brought into our lives, I mean, it was all gone at that time. You know, she moved on with her life. And then, you know, I can remember going to school every morning with my little brother when we were still, of course, living with my mom, and I was still trying to get with my dad and live with my dad, where I used to try to make sure that we got to school on time just so we can eat breakfast at school, because we didn't have, you know, my mom didn't have the money to feed us at home. And, you know, we used to go to school, and I can remember being picked on for our clothes being dirty. And you know, eventually this was reported out to CPS. And there was so many things that came out of that was negative. And I thank God that, you know, my brother and I and our sister and I and just my family, period, I thank God that we were all able to still be together, because there are so many families that are torn apart from, you know, CPS coming in and actually seeing things and taking the kids and putting them in the foster homes, and then they're separated. And then most of the time, some of them, some of them are really never seen again, but I thank God that my brother and my family, all of us, we remain together. My brother and our mother at the time, they had a great relationship. You know, they're like literally she worshiped the ground they walked on. But with me, well, let's just say I really, really did long for this type of relationship, and I wasn't receiving it on either end from mom or dad. You know, my name is Kenny, and I'm named after my dad, and I always was, it was as I was walking in his footsteps when I really wasn't trying to. I was always referred to as little Kenny, little Kenny, little Kenny this, little Kenny that. And you know, I was like, look, I want my own identity. You know, I want to grow up and I want to be someone with myself. Not saying that my mom and dad didn't do that or didn't attempt to do that, but I wanted my own identity. And today, I absolutely have no contact with either of my parents. And for years, I blamed myself for it being this way. I blamed myself for my mom and dad splitting up. But when it comes down to it, the one thing that caused them to split is that there was no love. There was no reason. There was no commitment. There was no determining factor to make them want to remain together. And here I am. I'm still an adult who struggles the fact that I struggle with the fact of completely knowing how to love. Here I am, a grown man with a family of my own, and yet I'm still, to this day, learning and working on improving on how to love. Again, callers, the lines are open. If you have anything to say, please feel free to do so. Our streamers, again, is number is area code 657-383-1571. You have anything you want to add?
Everybody's quiet. I think we have to realize first, well, we know that God is love. And so this is a Christian-based show. So, you know, that's definitely something we have to put out there. Love God. We need to love God. Definitely love God first. And, you know, people don't know how to love themselves. And I think that's a problem that we see a lot of, is that people don't know how to love themselves. Like, you know, I just mentioned before about your parents, you know, were they ever taught how to love? People don't really realize that they don't know how to love themselves. And so that's something that, you know, I pray for. Even, you know, in our society, the things that we see people deal with and put up with that they don't really have to, even with our, you know, these younger generation, you know, they don't demand anything. They just accept whatever comes along, you know, out of a partner or whatever. It's like you really have to learn how to love yourself. And not in a selfish way, not to the point of, you know, forget my children. I'm not worried about feeding them because I'm, you know, I got to give them a haircut. Not that type of way, but just learning how to love yourself, love you. And then you can know how to love other people. But I know there are a lot of adults now walking around that went through a hard time in childhood like you did. You know, they went through, they didn't feel like their parents loved them or they didn't feel like they loved them a lot, you know, either way, because I don't think it's that you weren't shown any love, but just not to the point where you needed to have been shown love. And then you had other people in your life, you know, that did show you how to love. But knowing that people have to, you know, like I said, love themselves and then appropriately learn how to love other people. So, Kenny, how would you say if there's an adult out there listening that has gone through like you went through with their parents feeling that way, what kind of advice would you give to them as an adult now that's still hurting? Even though people may not know they're hurting, but they're hurting on the inside from what they, you know, what they lacked in childhood. What advice would you give them to help start their healing as of today?
The advice that I would give to anybody who has gone through or even experienced some of what I've experienced as a kid coming up, what I would say is first, like I said, you gotta. Good night. What I would say is you have to learn how to love, you know, yourself. You definitely have to learn how to first love God, you know, and trust in God and allow Him to lead your path through life. Because when you do that, right, then God gives you this special anointing, this special strength like no other to forgive those who have wronged you in the ways that you probably have never imagined being wronged. And that's what I'm grateful to God that He did in my life. So if you're out there listening, you know, whether it's you called in and you're listening or you're streaming on the air, trust in the Lord, you know, and trust that, you know, according to Romans 8:28, that all things work together for the good of those that love God and are called according to His purpose. We have to trust and believe that with all our heart. Though it might not look good at the time, because it sure didn't look good when I was going through what I was going through, it really was an unforeseeable end. But I want to say definitely trust God, love yourself, love God, love yourself, and pray for those that, you know, that you've had to go through with when it comes to, you know, your heartache and pain. And pray and ask for God to give you the ability to forgive, because that forgiveness is an important key factor in being able to learn how to love. If you're not able, you can say I love somebody all day, but if you're not willing to forgive them, then you're not really walking in love.
Also, I would say just from what I've witnessed, you know, with being here with my husband, in addition to everything that he said, I would also say, find, again, you know, admit that there's a problem. Deal with your feelings. Y'all know me. Anybody that know me, y'all know me. Well, you guys know. I'm going to say that. Those feelings, those things that have been buried deep, those things that hurt, those things that when you revisit, it takes you to a place that you try to block out. You block out, I don't want to deal with it. Deal with it. Deal with it and allow God to heal you from it. Because there's a difference between, you know, putting those things to the side and moving on and continuing to live and survive, than really dealing with it and allowing God to heal you. Because that's what I think we have a lot of, where we haven't dealt with those things. You know, we're surviving, we're living, we've moved on. You know, we say, oh, I'm not worried about it, I'm over it, and it's okay, I'm not even worried about it. But it's still there, and it affects the things that occur in our lives. It affects us. It, you know, those things affect our lives. And so deal with it. Deal with it. Go back. Go back to when you were 5. Go back to when you were 7. Go back to when you were 10. Deal with those things concerning you and your parents, and those things that made you feel like you were not loved, you know, the things that that were done to you, you know, that made you feel cheated, neglected, or unloved, or, you know, or whatever. Deal with those things. And once you deal with those things, then you will be able to truly forgive and truly receive the healing and the deliverance that you need in order to be the person that you need to be, the spouse you need to be, the friend you need to be, the, you know, the parent, and definitely the parent, because we do see that a lot of times these things do affect us as, we have another caller on the line. Miss, your line is open. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
How you doing?
I'm okay.
Well, your line is open. If you have anything to say, please feel free to jump on in.
All right.
Does anybody have anything to say? Any words of wisdom that you could share with us? Any listeners? Anybody?
I would like to say something, Pastor Claudia. I would just like to say thank you, Pastor Kenny, for sharing all that, because I'm sure there's someone that's been going through something probably all their life but not understanding that they've been affected from things from their childhood and trying to figure out what's wrong with me. So thank you for sharing. I'm sure it's opened up somebody's eyes today.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Evangelist. Let's see here. Okay, got another caller. Wow, that caller right there snuck up on me right there. Hold on just a second, y'all. Caller ending in 9562. You're on air.
Hello, this is Kyra. I'm trying to get in where I fit in. I know it's only a few minutes left, but I really want to call and get a little bit of this. Hello, everyone.
Amen. Hello, hello. Thank you for calling, Kyra.
Yes, sir.
But your line is open as always. We'll keep it open, and if you have anything you want to add to the conversation, please feel free to do so.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, so callers, listeners, what I want to do now, I want to basically go back over everything that the Lord allowed me to you know, write down and share with you all on tonight, and I want to thank God for placing such wonderful people in my life that actually helped encourage me throughout my walk. You know, here on this earth. Like I said, I'm 37 years old, and I actually remember. I'm sure you all remember me saying something about the good times in my life where I met like Evander Holyfield. I won my first boxing match. Well, let's just say I had a guy in my life that was my boxing coach, and he really was an encouragement to my life. You know, I still talk to him from time to time when I can. But I tell you, he definitely was what I needed, my launching pad to help launch me out here into this world that we live in. And that like I said, there were times where y'all I felt so cheated and frustrated and irritated about things, and I had no clue why I felt that way until, you know, God started to show me things and bring things into perspective for me. Then not only that, I definitely want to talk about, you know, my my stepmom. She definitely and truly was a blessing to my life, you know, and I have to thank God for her as well. I thank God for, you know, my mother-in-law. She definitely was a blessing, you know. When it comes to my spiritual walk today, you know, she played a big and important factor in, you know, me being the man of God that I am today, and I definitely want to give her props, you know, on that. I've met a lot of people in my life, you know, that have definitely been encouraging to me. At times when they didn't even know they were encouraging me, they were encouraging me, you know. And pretty much every caller that's on the air tonight, you've had some way, shape, form, or fashion in my life to where you niched in a special spot in my heart, and you sold yourself onto a special spot in my heart. And I just want to say I love all you, and I thank you for every caller that called on tonight. I want to thank you for just being there for me when we needed you the most, and just being the friends and family, because we consider you family, that you all have grown to love us and you know, in spite of our faults, flaws, and indifferences.
Amen. Amen. Wow.
Akito, your line is open. How you doing?
I'm okay. Yourself?
I'm good. Good. If you have anything to say, please feel free to do so.
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to go back to kind of share my story. I mentioned it a little bit, you know, as the spouse, share my part, as the spouse, as being married to, you know, that adult that didn't get that love. Like I said before, you know, it was really hard for me because we grew up two different ways, and you know, it was a lot of it has been a struggle for him, and it has been a struggle for me in a lot of different areas. It has been a struggle for me because, again, that was just foreign to me and I didn't understand it. So I'm like, well, what in the world? You know, I don't go through that. Like, what? You know, what in the world have I got myself into? Because there were times that I did feel like that. And I thank God for his just for our relationship. And when I say ours, I'm talking about mine and God's. I thank God for being everything that I've needed, because through this journey, because it has been a journey, you know, he's shown me a lot of love. He's shown me a lot about love, and I grew up with love, but he's shown me love to a whole different level, a whole different level. And I've really had to learn like never before, you know, 1 Corinthians 13. He's really shown and continues to show me love. In that. But I thank God because I had to get to the point where, you know, where God showed me that my husband wasn't just my husband, or he's not just my husband, but I was also placed on an assignment with my husband. And, you know, it took a minute for me to really accept that because I, you know, I'm like, Lord, there were times where I felt overwhelmed. I didn't understand how to minister to him, how to be there for him. You know, there were times when I felt like I was showing him love, but he didn't know how to receive it. And that's something else that you find when you have children that lack that love. They grow up and they find people that, you know, they come in contact with people that do show them love, and sometimes they just don't know how to receive it. And, you know, so that's a whole nother level of patience that you have to have to still say, okay, I'm going to sit with this. Because there were times when I did want to leave. You know, there was even one point when I had planned on it, you know. But it has been a struggle watching him, especially with, you know, with Jeremiah, because he is our oldest, watching him as he has struggled with being that that loving and nurturing father. First, we had to get to the point of him accepting that there was a problem, you know, because that was part of it. He didn't want to see that there was a problem, and that was hard. Accepting that that was a problem, and then, you know, trying to do something about it. And I've seen him cry. Ugh, it's just going to make me cry. Plenty of nights. You know, I've watched him cry because he's really struggled with how to do this. And then I've said things like, Kenny, just get it right. Just do it. It's easy. And God had to deal with me because what was easy for me wasn't easy for him. It was easy for me. It came natural for me because I learned it. I had been shown it all my life. So it was easy for me to show love to my kids. It was easy for me to interact with my kids. It was, you know, all of that was just easy for me. But that wasn't easy for him. And because I didn't understand it, I would say, you know, those mean things to him. And, you know, and I've seen him as the head of this house, as my husband, as, you know, the father of our children, break down because he really didn't know how. He really didn't know how. But I thank God we have come so far. He never gave up, and he's still not giving up. Like he said, he still struggles, but he's still not giving up, even though he still doesn't have the support of his parents. He still doesn't have the relationship that he desires with them. He's still trying to learn how to show, you know, the kids love like he should show the kids. But he's still not giving up, and he has come a long way. So I just want to publicly give my husband credit and just let him know that I appreciate him because he truly has fought hard for our family. And I thank God for that. I truly do. I really, really do. We have another call on the line. I think this is my brother, Sid. Are you there? Did I get it right? Is that your number?
Yeah, you got it right.
All right now.
Yeah, girl.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm still at work, but I was able to break away to call because I know this is a thing that a lot of us men go through because we have come from those broken up homes, and sometimes it's hard to reciprocate something that you didn't receive to begin with. And so as a man, like you said, it's easy for you as a woman, for you in your case, but for most men, if that love is not there, it's hard. And sometimes you got to make that decision. You have to make a conscious decision each and every day to say, hey, I'm not going to be the product of my environment. I'm not going to be what I was, what was put upon me, or what was not put upon me. And you kind of have to make that decision. And once you make that decision, like you said earlier, you have to first acknowledge that there is an issue. And then you have to, once you acknowledge that there is an issue, that you have a problem, okay, how do you go about fixing it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It took a while for me to have to realize that I had to let go of not having. Because I kept it in my mind of not having, it took away from what I was in at the time as in the present. So I'm still living in the past of not having something.
Mm-hmm.
And still wanting that something to happen. And knowing that something couldn't happen anymore because you can't get your childhood back anymore.
Right.
You can't
right.
get that back anymore. So do you continue living in that childhood of wanting that relationship? No, because then all it does is weighs on you as a person. And so now you're missing, because you're, that stuff is still in your head, you're missing the time away from your kids because you're still focused on your own childhood.
Right.
So who's
right.
going to play in the long run? Your kids are going to miss out. So
right.
I use that in the sense of coming up to say, I am not going to let my kids feel the same way I feel right now.
That's right.
When I have kids, they I won't treat them like my mom treats me. I'm not going to treat them like my ass and dad treats me. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to make sure I treat them better than what I got treated. So I made a decision. I made a decision then to be better than what was around me. And I also made a decision because, you know, we say we see what's around us and we go over what you know, the good things and the bad things that we see. So I decided to take different pieces from everybody, from the uncles and from the old heads around the neighborhood and all that stuff. And I took pieces from them and try to build myself up.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
once I was able to do that, then I was able to say, okay, this is how I want things to do. This is how I want things to be for me and my family when I have my family. God knows I want my kids to feel loved at all times. And yes, you can still be hard and stern to them, and to the point where you know, hey, daddy said this and daddy said that, but you still have to show them love. That's why I tell them in the Bible to do those things. It's written in the Bible for us to do that. Don't provoke your kids, because
right.
that's what a lot of us dads do that don't have that father figure in their life. We have that anger.
Right.
We're too hard on our kids.
Mm-hmm.
And who's left to take care of the kids and pick up the kids' heart? The mom. It shouldn't be like that.
Yep.
It should not be like that, but it's how it is. And we as men, we just got to overcome that and not get over it, not brush it aside, but we have to deal with it. We have
mm-hmm.
to deal with that.
That's right.
And allow our wives to help us. Because I love my grandma. I was a grandma's boy. And my grandma passed at an early age, so it was like I was on my own, flapping in the wind, even though I had my mom who was always gone all the time. But to me, she was just, you know, she was just a unit, so to speak. So I pretty much was growing up by myself. And then that's when I made that decision. And then till my wife came along, who filled that void for me, and it was like a whole change, a whole complete change of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to make that conscious decision as men, because it's so easy for society to replace us in the household. with all kinds of stuff, and they tell women that you don't need a man and you don't need this, and we can give you this type of help and support, and all that does is keep that cycle going of single parents.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Well, we got
that's true, bro. I so appreciate you for talking and calling in tonight and giving your testimony as well. That's a blessing. So thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Kitty.
Yeah. My help.
Help. Help. But that's a sad case, though. You know, and again, our kids are the one that feels all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So do.
Just the other night, my two daughters, we were sitting in the living room, and they said, you know what? We haven't met any parents like you, like me and their mom. And I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, I'm trying to name parents for them to see you. And I was like, no, okay. Thank you. That's all I can come up with. Thank you. That's how I want to be. That's how I want it to be. That's how kids want both of their parents. They want to be hugged sometimes by their mom and their dad.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's a boy, I hug Deuce, you know, and I hug Baby now because I want them to feel that. I think the first time I got a real hug from a man is when I married my wife, and her dad hugged me. And even then, I felt kind of strange. It is this grown man is hugging me, you know. And in my mind, I'm going like, why are you hugging me? You should be hugging me. You're a man, because I wasn't used to that.
Right.
And so I have to tell myself, I'm going to hug my son because I want him to feel his dad loves him, not just like the things I say, but by my actions as well.
That's real. That's real. Them actions, they speak louder than those words a lot of time, you know, but it's definitely good for your kids to hear that four-letter word, I love you. When they hear it, it just does something to them. You know, it does something to them.
And I think that's been part of the problem is, you know, like you were saying with the sons, we have, as a society, convinced ourselves that the sons, the boys need less of that because, you know, they're boys and we're raising them to be men. And you don't have to tell them, you know, you just show them. They know I love them and that type of thing. And no, they need to hear it too. They need to hear it. They need to be shown it, and they need to be taught it. And that's what, you know, that's what we have to realize. Yes, they're boys, and we do want them to grow up to be men, you know. However, part of all of that is realizing that they're still kids. They're kids growing up to be men, and that there are certain things that they still need in order to grow up to be healthy, productive members of society. And so that's what we, you know, that's what we have to keep in mind. So that's a lot. Thank you so much. Thank you for that. Does anybody else have anything to say? Any input? Anything?
Yes, ma'am. I do.
Go ahead, Kido.
You know, like, my story is very similar to Cedric's story. You know, I grew up not even seeing. I don't even remember seeing my parents kiss. You know what I mean? So, like, the first time somebody in my family told me that they loved me, well, I was 18 years old, and I was leaving, like, the next day to go to the Marine Corps. And my mother, she really didn't even say, I love you. She says, you know, you'll always be my baby. And I took that as, you know, her saying that she loved me. And you're right, it will mess you up. You know, it will mess you up because, like, I didn't know, even still, sometimes I still don't think, like, I know how to properly show affection just because of how I grew up. And, you know, I got three little girls, and I don't want my little girls to grow up the way that I did, you know, like even today, you know, like today I had a long conversation with my son. And at the end of the conversation, I told him, I'm like, you know, I haven't been the best, but I still love you. You know, and I gave him a hug because I don't want him to be how I was, you know, because I think that's still, like, I'm almost 40 years old and that still affects me to this day.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, the first two people in my life to tell me that they love me was actually the first person to tell me that they loved me was my wife. She was the first person to, in my whole entire life to tell me that I love you. She was the first person to say it. And it's like, I mean, I don't know. It's a jacked up situation because that affection should have been shown in the home. And maybe I'd be, you know, a better father and a better husband today. But, you know, like, it's important. It definitely is important. Even your boys, you know, it's important. And that's why I told my son today, hey, man, I love you. You know, I may not be the best, but I love you. You're still my boy, regardless.
That's right. That's right. And that's the thing, Keto. You know, none of us are the best. We're all striving and, you know, but showing our kids and telling our kids, you know, that we love them. And even them accepting that we're not the best, you know, that's part of love. You know, I love them, you know, unconditional love because, you know, we're striving. We're doing our best. And a lot of times, you know, when we do come into relationships and we get married, you know, you have situations where you either have one broken person or you have two broken people that are coming together. You know, and we see that, you know, you see that a lot. And it's like we come in with these things that we haven't dealt with. And like you said, and then we're 40 years old and that's where we are, that we have to deal with them. So I wanted to say this, though, you know, for anybody out there who's listening. And then we have a question. So I'm going to ask that question in just a second and try my best to answer it. But I want to say, you know, if there is anyone out there, you know, please take everything that we said, but know this, it's not too late. It's not too late. It is not too late to learn how to love. You're not too old. If you are still breathing, it is not too late. And you can do it. It can be done. We may be broken, you know, a lot of us are broken. However, God is a healer. He's the healer. You're not too broken to where he cannot heal you and restore you. And so that's what we have to know. It's not too late. It's not. Do not give up. Be patient with yourself. Keep striving. Keep trying. Keep moving. Don't stop. Do not stop. We have a question, and anybody who wants to answer this, please do. What does a parent do? This is a question from one of our listeners. What does a parent do that feels like they are not capable of being loved? Anybody before I say anything? Anybody? What does a parent do? Go ahead.
I would like to respond to that, Patrick, by the way.
Okay, go ahead.
When a parent feels like they're, you said they cannot be loved?
What does a parent do that feels like they are not capable of being loved?
Well, first of all, you have to go back and realize and figure out, first of all, you have to love yourself. Go back to God. And I'll tell you this, when you feel like you're not capable of being loved, understand John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loved us enough to give his son that we may live. And that's where you start the beginning of love for yourself. Where you can find the real love. Then you have to love yourself. After loving yourself, that shines through you. And so people gravitate where they see a person that loves themselves, and they begin to love you. But another thing I want to point out is that a child loves their parents without even thinking about it. Unless that child may have a disorder or something like that, a child normally loves their parents without even thinking about it. No matter how they treat them, it's an unconditional love. It's just like the love that God has given us. It would take a lot to destroy a child's love for their parent. So I just encourage you to go to the Bible, read chapter 3, verse 16, realize how much God loves you, then look in the mirror and tell yourself, I love you. I love me. I love you. Talk to yourself, and then that love will radiate.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you.
Awesome response.
Yes, ma'am. Anybody else?
She pretty much covered it.
She did. She did. She did. Yes, she did. And yes, you are capable of being loved. Well, thank you so much, Pastor Michelle. I appreciate that. Does anybody else have any other comments or anything to share?
I do, Pastor Kate. And women, when you find that man, and he becomes your king, and y'all have kids, and you realize that he is having issues with loving your child, don't browbeat that man. Don't belittle that man. Talk to him. Talk with him, shall I say, and try to find out more about him that you didn't know, so that way he can guide you a little bit as in how to help your man. Because if you just go in there, you just see he's not, you know, why are you playing with your son? Why are you doing this with your daughter? Blah, blah, blah. And you just start beating him up. Try to figure out what's the issue, because it could be an issue with their childhood, how he grew up. And it makes it a little easier. So when you do work that situation out, that bond between you and him will be even stronger, because he'll see that you are the one that helped him out of that rut that he was in, that he's been in for so many years.
Right.
So don't run away from it. Don't run away from it. But also, don't just tear your man down in the process.
That's right. I agree with that, because I was guilty of that, you know, because I didn't understand it, and so I would say some harsh things, and you know, like, you just need to do this, you know, and it has been a process. It definitely has been a process for me. And, you know, and it truly has taken God. God has really ministered to me. He's humbled me. He's shown me a lot. And he's turned a lot of that anger and resentment that I had, because there was a time where I was resenting my husband. You know, I felt like, you know, this is crazy. You know, and so I went through that, and so he's turned all of that into compassion and, you know, well, removed the resentment. And now, you know, I have a compassion, and my heart goes out to him, because, like I said, I've been there. I've seen his struggle. I still see his struggle. Even as an adult, when we go home, how he's treated, you know, and I just couldn't imagine being in the position that he's in. We have another caller. Caller ending in 2521. Are you there?
Hi, guys. How are y'all?
Hi. How are you?
How are you? Michelle, are you there? I'm on the phone, Michelle.
I am here. Hi, Donna.
Thank you. Hey, Donna.
It was a big step, a big leap.
Well, thank you for calling in, and this is a safe zone, so if you have anything to say, the floor is yours.
I do. I have a lot to say. I'm really emotional, and I apologize.
No apology needed.
Kenny, I want to say that it took a great deal of bravery to share your story. I worked with foster children. I adopted three. I have a blended family. And at first when I heard you talking, I thought, okay, well, maybe your mom did kind of like what I did with my oldest. My oldest asked me one time, Mom, why do you dislike me so much? And I said, I don't. I love you. I love you more than life itself. I didn't realize the amount of responsibility or the amount of burden I was putting on her, but she was my backbone. Here I was, I lost my mom, my dad, my husband. So my kids were all that was left. But I didn't realize that I was tearing her down. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am, it does.
But then when you started talking about, you know, about your mom and the doing the drugs, and then, you know, your mom speaking so raw about your father, and then saying that you were the man of the house and you were just like your dad. She was sending all those negative vibes. So here you were where my 16-year-old is. You know, you're thinking, I'm going to be just like him. I'm going to be horrible. She thinks he's horrible. I'm going to be just like him. My 16-year-old thought he was going to be just like his father. And he was a horrible guy. Like, he did horrible things. But I never, ever, ever spoke raw of him in front of my kids. I just wanted to say that it's you sharing that is just incredibly brave, because I've seen it. I've had foster kids that have went through so much, and they're still standing strong, you know. And then I've got my three adopted kids that no matter how much love I give them, I feel like they hate my guts. And I know it's not my fault. You know, they've got reactive attachment disorder. But they can learn to love. So when you ask the question, can one learn to love when they're not taught love? Yes. Yes, you can. Even though I don't have the bond with them that I do my biological children, I have seen them love. I've seen them be the cheerleading squad at my door when I pull in my driveway. So all this time while I'm thinking that they hate me, they really do love me. They just don't trust.
Right.
So I don't know. I hope that one word, if any, can help you feel better. But I sat here crying listening to you. And my daughter was like, Mom, what's wrong? And I turned the volume up a little bit. And she said, can I hear that later? She was busy. And I said, yeah, you can. But she knew if I sat here and whatever I was listening to caused that much emotion, she knew she had to hear it.
Wow. Well, praise God. That's good. That's good.
So I couldn't call because I couldn't get a word out of my mouth to call because I was in tears. But I get accused all the time, like a horrible thing. I beat my kids, or I don't feed my kids, or, you know, CPS is always at my door, and it's always just my three foster kids that I adopted because of their mental illness, you know. So that's why I thought that they hated me, that they lie on me all the time, and society judges me like I'm a horrible person, and I'm really not.
Well, I definitely hear your heart, and I love what I'm hearing.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. I definitely appreciate you for calling in, because I've been waiting on this call. I like, when she going to call in? When is she going to call in? One day she going to call in. And you called.
I just didn't hold it together long enough to call. You know, you wouldn't have been able to understand me. Michelle probably would have understood me because she's used to it.
Yeah.
But I don't, you know, unless you talk to me all the time, you wouldn't understand. And you know, like when I tell my children that you're like your father, they poke their chest out with pride because they know that their dad was a good man, you know. And I could just picture, like, I got the image when your mom says that to you and you just kind of lean over, you know. And being without my mother, I can't imagine having my mother alive and not having a relationship with her or my father for that matter.
Right.
So I'm grateful that you've got your family that you do have, because everybody deserves to be loved.
Amen. That's true. That's so true.
Even the people that we think are monsters, they deserve to be loved.
That's true. Love definitely does. It does cover a multitude. multitude.
It does. And Donna, I just want to commend you on, you know, taking the step and calling in tonight. And, you know, this is a safe place. Please feel free to call in and share what you have to say. You know, we have our panel. That's what I call everybody on here. They're our panel. You know, we have,
oh, the regulars.
Yes. You know. No, this is not just Kenny and Kwajalein's show. This is our show. You know, we have our panel. And, you know, and it's a safe place. It's a safe place for you to call in and share what you, you know, what you're feeling and your experiences. And I am going to do a show this month on foster, you know, fostering and adoption. And I would love for you to call back in and, you know, to kind of co-host that show with us, because that is one of my passions, definitely one of my passions. And when you're, you know, and you have three kids with RAD, so that says a lot. You know, that's a lot. That's
hard.
Wonderful.
It's hard.
Yeah, that's definitely that speaks volumes. You know,
I do a lot of research. That's why you know, I don't remember who asked the question because I was busy wiping my tears. But somebody had asked if you could learn to love. I think maybe it was Kenny. And I started blurting out, yes, you know, yes, you can.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's the reason I know, because I've done so much research. And I've seen, I saw my kids before and I see them now.
Mm-hmm.
And even though, you know, like if you saw them, you maybe wouldn't see a difference. But I do. Even one little, you know, them coming up and hugging me to say goodnight is success. Because,
right.
You know, you're talking about kids that were never, they were never held. They were never coddled. You know,
that's
when
right.
My baby cried, I would be there. I'd be there before the first whimper came out of his mouth, you know. Or her mouth, but these kids never had that.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
so
right.
Being 2, 3, and 4, you know, trying to teach them, it's hard because you think that they trust you, and really they're plotting against you. And society gets the wrong impression. They think you're a horrible person. Like, people think that I'm so horrible because I have children with RAD. And it's not fair, because I've devoted every inch of my heart and my soul to these children. I have fought doctors. I have fought therapists, schools, people, so that they could be where they are today. And I get no credit. It's, you know, the bad that is said outweighs the good, even though the bad is false. It outweighs all the good I've done.
It doesn't, Donna. And I do want to talk to you personally one day this week. But it doesn't outweigh. This is what I want you to remember. I want you to remember that God sees all. And what you're doing for God. And you're doing for those children. Do not be concerned with what everyone else thinks about society, because they only know part of the story.
I have
but
to
you
be concerned when they call the people on me all the time, though.
Well, yes, you just make sure you're doing the right thing, you know, but don't worry about people who are looking and pointing and say, oh, she's a, you know, don't be concerned about that. You just continue to do the right thing. You know, continue to do the right thing and allow God to be your covering, because he will. He will do that.
I just always
right.
say that there's got to be some good. There's got to be good that's going to come out of this.
And it
it's
is.
Hard. It's
it
hard
is.
To be so positive when you deal with so much negative. You know, like Michelle, I know she discussed it last week, you know, about people just would dismiss me and stuff. You know, and that's my life. Like, I would go without to help somebody else, but when they didn't need me anymore, they would just throw me away.
May I say something real quick?
Yes,
you can.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I have to say it. I'm listening to the show. Show is wonderful. Again, thank you all for everything that was said. But with Ms. Donna, when you came on, I was painting, and I about dropped the paintbrush. I was like, that's Ms. Donna, because we've heard the name for so many weeks. So to hear your voice, I just want you to know that that has just lifted me up, along with, you know, the courage that Pastor Kenny has had sharing his story, and Deacon Page, and as well as Keto. So to hear your voice, Ms. Donna, has just, all this has just done joy for me tonight. I just wanted to say that.
Oh, well, thank you. She just made me smile. I went from tears to smiles. It gives me more confidence to want to share and tell people, you know.
I agree. And we do hope you continue to call in. And like I said, Donna, definitely I would like to talk to you later on. We're going to get ready to the show's about to end in like 3 minutes. But, you know, I would like to talk to you off air, if that's okay, now since I heard your voice. You know, we got a conversation. I want to talk to you about some things. And I agree with Evangelist. Yes, it's great to hear your voice. And I thank everyone for calling in, everyone. And like my husband said earlier, thank you guys for being there for us through the years. And I want to say this, Donna. My friend is on the line now. Her name is Kyra. And it's something that she told me years ago. I don't even know if she remembers. But when I when we first got Jeremiah, she told me to be patient with myself. I'll never forget that. And then she told me, because we were talking about, you know, adopting older kids and things like that. She said, but the blood of Jesus covers everything. So that's what I want you to remember. The blood of Jesus. Anything that we may deal with, anything that may come our way, anything that you may deal with concerning your kids, Jesus has already died for that. So that's what you keep in mind. That's what you keep in mind. There's nothing, there is absolutely nothing that is too hard for God. Not nothing. Now, I know I just did a double negative, but nothing. Nothing is too hard for God. And so I want you to remember that. We love you guys. Thank you all for being with us during this journey. You got, for all of y'all that have been there, where we have cried, for y'all that have been there, for you guys that have been there when I have been fussing and complaining, you know, everything. I thank you guys. Thank you guys, because Kenny and I have come a long way. We have. Kenny and I, our family, Kenny and Jeremiah, they have come a long way. So your prayers, your words of encouragement, just being there, your counseling sessions, I want to let you guys know that none of it was in vain. And we do thank you guys, and we love you guys.
Love you all. Have a great week.
And you guys go to the Facebook page, Family Matters with Kenny and Kwajalein, and drop some topics on there, okay? Y'all let us know. Let us know what you want to talk about. And we love you guys. Y'all have a good week, and we will be back on Friday night at 8.
All right. Good night. We'll be there.
Good night.